And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. That's what a woman who is so blessed that, well, the Hollywood moguls have given her her own comedy TV show. Why is she blessed? Well, the money is coming in. The shekels are coming in after Sarah Silverman, a Jewish comedian, says she'd effing do it again. In a second, she'd kill Jesus if she could. And people laugh. Audiences laugh at it. It's a big HBO special on television. This is Tex Mars, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. Dear friends, I'm glad to be with you. Today we're going to be talking about Secrets, another volume of Secrets. We'll talk about Sarah Silverman and her hatred of Christ Jesus, and how she is being enriched by the Jews that run our television networks and Hollywood because of her hatred of Christ and her bigotry and racism. But there's much more I want to talk about today. Did you know that the publisher of the New International Version of the Bible, which is, of course, a hoax, but it is the number one best-selling Bible in the world, the publisher of the NIV also publishes another Bible called, get this, folks, the Satanic Bible. The same publisher. What's that all about? And we're going to have some other revelations for you today. Incredible things. President Bush just got back from his little, you might say, his vacation in Montebello, Quebec, Canada, where he met at the very luxurious five-star Fairmont Le Chateau Resort with the Prime Minister of Canada, the President of Mexico, and they mapped out a few more strategies of how they're going to pull the wool over our eyes with a new Amaro currency and the North American Union by 2010, but a few people are getting wise to it. Then a French Jew, a man named Sarkozy, Nicolas Sarkozy, in fact, a Sabbatean Jew, that means a Satan Jew, now has risen to the top of the political heap and is calling for America to bomb Tehran, Iran, to kill the Iranians. And, of course, we have the spectacle of Michael Vick after being paid $37 million and winning all the acclaim in the world turns out to be nothing but a monster murderer. We'll discuss that. The ADL's Foxman, or Foxman, if you want to call it that. I call him Foxman because Jesus, when asked about Herod, called King Herod that old fox. Well, the fox man of the Jewish ADL is at it again with his hatred. And now he's trying to cover up, evidently, the genocide, the true Holocaust. He's a Holocaust denier. I don't know why he's not in prison somewhere, this monster, this heathen guy named Abraham Foxman of the Jewish ADL organization. Because he is obviously denying that a genocide, a Holocaust of Armenian Christians occurred in the nation of Turkey in the years 1915 to 1917. They're covering it up. The ADL's covering up a Holocaust. Foxman needs to go to prison. After all, he wants to send anyone who denies that there was a Jewish Holocaust, he wants to send them to prison. So we should send him to prison. We'll tell you more about that. And you know, this book is still out there selling called The Secret. If you know The Secret, you can be rich and have all the sex partners you want and the romance and Oh, my, everything will be attracted to you if you simply know the secret. Well, there's a book offering to tell you the secret. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list at one time. What is the secret, and why is it a dangerous thing to practice the secret? Got a lot more for you here today, too. I hope I can get to it all. Did you know there's they're making a Flight 93 memorial? You know, Flight 93 was one of the flights that went down on 9/11. And they're building a huge memorial, stone memorial in Pennsylvania. But the father of one of the victims says he doesn't want his son's name on it. It would be a disgrace. What's that all about? Global warming, it's here, it's horrible, says the Washington Post. Well, we're used to all of that. It's because since the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, we've had this industrial, might of the United States and Western Europe. And because of all the industry, beginning really all the way back to the 1920s, we've had global warming, and it's getting worse and worse. And so the Washington Post says, we've got to do something about it. Icebergs are melting, but wait. This isn't 2007. This is a Washington Post headline dated 1922. We'll discuss that as well. And much more right here on Power of Prophecy as we look into these secrets. Today I want to ask you, though, dear friends, regardless of all of the evildoers that present hoaxes, that deny the true Holocaust rather than the fake ones, regardless of the fact that it appears we're fixing to be bamboozled into another great war in the Middle East with Iran, and maybe we're on the very precipice of a tremendous financial collapse in this country, I want to ask you a question that really makes everything else pale into comparison. Do you know your purpose here on this planet? I thought I'd start with that today, because many times people say, with all the bad things going on in the world, I don't know what to do with myself. Some people write to me and say, Dear Tex, I don't know what my purpose is. You don't know what your purpose is? I know what my purpose is. When I was a young man, a teenager, I accepted Jesus. And from that day, I knew what my purpose was. If you don't know what your purpose is, friend, you're flailing. You're drowning. You're sinking. You're in deep, deep trouble. A lot of people believe we don't have a purpose. We just got here accidentally through evolution. It's all a big accident. You know, when I was in college, one of my professors was talking about evolution, the scientific theory. And one of the students, who probably was a Christian, was giving him a little hard time and saying, how could this happen? You know, how could we go from, a tadpole or a bacterium to the bodies we have? How could that happen through evolution? He said, well, it was just a series of accidents of nature. It was a trillion to one chance, but it occurred. Wow. Albert Einstein, however, who said he believed in God but was not a Christian, at least was wise enough to have made the statement, God does not play dice with the universe. He doesn't throw the dice. Nothing is by accident, said Albert Einstein. Reading recently, Stephen Jay Gould, an evolutionist, says life basically is meaningless. We're here because one odd group of fishes had a peculiar fin anatomy that accidentally transformed into legs for terrestrial creatures. Is there a higher answer to why we are here? No, none exist. Well, what a miserable human being. Now, on the other hand, scientists are now beginning to discover that there is some kind of a higher reason. There is a higher purpose. They can't figure it out because they don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they know something is by design. Something is done on purpose in this universe. Life seems to have a designer. You know, which would make sense. Astronomer Fred Hoyle says this. He says, as biochemists discover more and more about the awesome complexity of life, it is apparent that the chances of it originating by accident are so minute that they can be completely ruled out. Life cannot have arisen by chance. No way. Well, God indicated he does have a purpose for you and me, dear friends. And listen to this design. He said from the very beginning, this is in Genesis, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. He had a design for you, for your body, for your soul, for your heart, your mind. He had a design for it. What's that all about? Obviously, he wants you to be like him. An image. You know, I'm not a very good artist. That's one of my weaknesses. I can barely draw a stick man. I'm pretty good with words. I'm a wordsmith, but I'm not a very good artist. I've always admired artists. How can they do that? If you asked me to draw a person's face, it would come out looking like some Frankensteinian monster. They'd probably get mad at me. If one was here, draw my portrait, and I tried, she'd say, you beast for drawing me to look like that. And I'd have to say, madam, I'm doing my best. That's all I can do. You see, I'm not very good at creating an image. But God must be pretty good at it. That means something. Let me tell you what it means, dear friends. When he said, let us make man in our image, I think he meant what he said. That means we have a purpose, and that purpose is to live, to think, to act the same way the Creator does. We are to have the mind of Christ. As Jesus said, to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, some people say, I can't be like Christ. I try, but I can't. You know, an image is not always a perfect representation, but I think God is pretty good at making you be like he is if you ask him to be. If you want to be like him, then why don't you just say, Lord, you have the power, make me more like you each and every day. Now, if you don't think God doesn't have the power to make you more like him every day, then just go ahead and kill yourself. Did you really say that, Tex Mars? Yeah. What purpose? I mean, okay, so you're 40 years old, 30 years old, you end your life 30 or 50 years earlier than it should have been ended. So what? I mean, everything is eternal anyway. Billions of years for eternity. Your 70, 80, 90 years is just a little bitty pin speck in the desert of sands of eternity. So go ahead and kill yourself. You're a nothing anyway. You're a meaningless little insect. That's what the devil would like you to think. I mean, the Bible says to the devil, we're like lambs accounted for slaughter. You're a nothing. Kill yourself. Get it over with, you worthless little insect. But listen, God says, no, that's not true. You may be a sinner, but you can be made into something more whole. You may say, there's a piece of me missing, and you know what? You're right. I believe in every man when he's born, there's a piece missing. That piece is called the Holy Spirit. But if you accept Jesus Christ, that piece is fulfilled. It's like a little kid with a puzzle. It's a beautiful picture, but he's missing a key piece of it. He says, Daddy, I can't find the piece. I don't know where this piece goes. And you show him where that final piece goes, and then the puzzle is complete. It's a beautiful work of art. But until that time, even though it's good partially, it's good in many ways, it's not whole. God wants you to understand that you are important to him. He has created you with a purpose in mind, and no one but you can fulfill that purpose. Don't go off reading Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. It'll be a big waste of your time. It's a big New Age volume. I know it is. I've read it. But listen to me. Read his Bible. It will tell you, you have a purpose. You have a destiny. And if you're chosen by God, you've been chosen from the foundation of the world. So if you say, I'm not smart enough, wait, he chose you from before you were born. With the very brain you've got right now. You say, I don't have enough money. I'd like to do more for his kingdom, but I don't have enough money. Hey, wait. You have exactly the amount of money that God destined you to have at this time in your life. Maybe he'll give you more in the future. Maybe he won't. But don't say you can't take what you have and use for his glory. Besides that, I don't think money is going to win any people to Christ anyway. Never has. Never will. God's purpose. Recently reading a publication called The Witness out of Lubbock, Texas. Brother Curtis Dickinson, I think he's gone on to be with the Lord as a pastor there. Boy, he had some good things to say about purpose. He said this, listen to this. Nothing in the world can change, diminish, or stop God's purpose. It is immutable. Fixed, unchanging. He's got a purpose for you. And listen, you get in line with God, he will reveal his purpose to you every day. He will take you on a journey with him. He'll walk right by you. In fact, sometimes you get tired, he carries you. He carries you. When you enter the front door of this ministry building, Power of Prophecy, immediately turn to your right and look on the wall. You'll see something. There's a Bible verse there about the truth. And also posted on the wall is one of my favorite Bible verses. It says that he openeth the door and no man can shut it. And likewise, he, that is the Lord Jesus, is the one who can shut the door and no man can open it. Think about that. God has a purpose for you. You say, I can't open the door. It's too heavy. I'm disabled. My arm, my wrist hurt. I just can't seem to forget yourself. Just walk up to that door with every intent that it's going to open if God tells you to, and it will open. And when it's open, no man's going to close it. Unless God says so. I like that. He openeth the door and no man can shut it. And he shuts it and no man can open it. I've had people tell me, because I write this or that, or I say this or that, I'm going to be destroyed. And you know, sure enough, I'll preach on this subject or that subject and some radio station will say, I'm taking your program off the air. I'll get maybe hundreds of people sometime that write me and say, take me off your mailing list. I don't want to have anything to do with you now that you're preaching this stuff that I don't like. But you know what? The door shut there. But wait, it doesn't take long for suddenly new doors to open up. Somebody I don't even know, some radio station owner will call and say, you know, God just led me to give you a forum, and I'd like you to come on this radio station. And the next thing I know, we go to the post office. All post office will bring us a whole bucket full of letters. Please put me on your mailing list, Tex Mars. Wow. He opens the door. And let me tell you something, friends. He knows that there are millions of doors to open, and you can't even see the future. You think your future is bleak, it's dark. Wow. Hey, talking about God, you know, this is really interesting. I was really, just today I was reading about a news clipping. It says, ocean found inside the earth. Now, the Illuminati are going to con you. They're already doing it. They're buying up all the water supplies, and they're going to tell you there's not enough water in the world. Right here in Central Texas, a government agency called the Lower Colorado River Authority sells water to people, to homes. They've just tripled their prices. Tripled. Tripled the price of water. You know, one time we did a radio program here, and I said, someday I predict that water will cost more than milk at the food store. It's getting there. Sometimes water does cost more. Pure water right out of the tap, they put it in a bottle, claim it's sparkling water from springs or whatever, I don't know, but it's just water. And it costs a lot of money. It's going to cost more to water your lawns and wash your clothes and take a bath. Of course, you can do like the environmentalists. I understand the actress, Academy Award winning actress Kate Blanchett says she only takes a bath once a week now, trying to save water. And she encourages everybody else to take a bath only once a week. That's very nice. Except it came out that Kate Blanchett has a private executive jet, and she owns two homes of 5 to 10,000 square feet each. And think of how much utilities and everything she's using. One little woman having two homes and flying around in a big executive jet. But she makes a big sacrifice by taking only one bath a week. Oh, yeah. Sure. What hypocrites. But listen to this. It says, from ancient times, hollow earth theorists have spun fascinating tales concerning what awaits explorers beneath the surface of our planet. But now, seismologist Michael Wyason of Washington State University and Jesse Lawrence of the University of California of San Diego have announced the discovery of a vast subterranean ocean located beneath Eastern Asia. Wow. Now, these two scientists have studied 600,000 seismograms. And they say there's an ocean that is at least the volume of the Arctic Ocean, 5,440,000 square miles. Water, ocean water, under the ground. Friends, we're never going to run out of water. Who would have ever thought? Now, scientists have known for several decades now, or maybe even a couple of hundred years, that there seems to be flowing streams of water under the ground. But who would have thought there are oceans of water? Hey, the Bible did. How thousands of years ago, how could the Bible have known this? You say, Tex, show me that in the Bible. I'd love to. Go to Genesis chapter 7 and 8 in the days of Noah. Did you know that the floods, when the flood came, everybody, you watch the movies and all the rain starts. It wasn't just the rain. Did you know that the great Noah flood was caused not only by water coming from the heavens, but from under the earth? Listen to what it says here in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, boy, doesn't God, isn't he precise? Why don't he tell us that? Why don't he just say, oh, Noah was about, you know, several hundred years old when this happened? No, he says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and then the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It came from below, came up, and it came down from the heavens both. Wow. That's incredible, isn't it? Now, then verse 8, it says, finally, after 40 days, it stopped. It says, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. But that's not all. Read Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. Read Exodus 20, verse 4. It is incredible. The Ten Commandments talks about there being water under the earth. Did you know that? The Ten Commandments talks about water being under the earth. Yeah, listen to this. Listen to this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth below or that is in the water under the earth." There's living things in the water under the earth. And you're not to make an image, a graven image, an idol, of the things that exist that live in the water under the earth. There's creatures there. I don't believe we even know what they are. Under the earth. Wow. What a book. Of course, the Bible also talks about, and remember, this was 1,000 years before Christopher Columbus, it talks about God looking down upon the circle of the earth from heaven. Circle? Wasn't the earth square? Said the scientist before Columbus. Well, God looked down upon the circle of the earth, it says in the Old Testament. An amazing secret, friends. Here it is. The Bible is true. The Bible is real. And it has some incredible scientific information for you. Well, we were talking about Sarah Silverman before. This is almost so bad. I just almost get breathless. She was on this cable program. I didn't listen to it. I was flipping channels and I saw her, this comedian, Sarah Silverman. You notice how all these Jewish comedians are a bunch of filthy mouth, rotten people. Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, all of them. They're just a bunch of rotten people. It's always been that way. Rodney Dangerfield. They all help each other and then they take over all the television networks. You mean there are no Gentile comedians? Not very many. Because Hollywood always helps its own. The Jews help each other. But listen what she said. This is supposed to have been funny and the audience must have been lapping it up. She said on her TV program, she said, quote, "I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd, F-U-C-K-I-N-G, do it again in a second." She's the darling now of the Jewish media in America. I'm sure she'll be on Jay Leno if she hadn't already been, and David Letterman. All the rest of them will have this Sarah Silverman on. She'll be rewarded with fame and fortune. She's already got her own HBO comedy special. Now, friends, if she said this about Muhammad and Allah, she'd be a dead person, wouldn't she? Isn't it true that Jesus and Christianity are the only ones that you can be bigoted against? The only ones that Hollywood and television can be hateful against is Christianity. And you know why? Because Christians are not violent, hateful people. We don't seek revenge. We pray for these people. Would I like somebody to take Sarah Silverman out, put a rope around her neck? No. You know what I'd like? I want you to really punish her. I want you to really do her in. Here's how. Pray for her. Yeah, pray for her. Wish her well. Hope that Jesus Christ will come to her and tell her the truth. That's what I'd like for her. I want her to lead a prosperous, contented life forever and ever in heaven. With me, maybe as her next door neighbor. That's what I want to do for Sarah Silverman. And I believe every Christian should. You know what? That's what we ought to do for all these heathen. That's what we ought to do for all these bigots who so hate our Lord Jesus. Just pray for them. Wish them well. Want the best for them. Desire that they live and not die. You know, that's the difference. That makes all the difference between us and Muslims and Jews. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back with more secrets right after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. Isn't it true that a bride is supposed to be given gifts? And what is that old saying now? You know, forgive me, I've never been a bride. But she's supposed to have something old and something new and something borrowed and something blue. Well, we have something for you today that's old and new. That's right. It's old and new. It's not borrowed, really, and won't make you blue. I think it'll sort of wake you up, put a little light in your mind. It's a video, a DVD or VHS video called Monuments and Magic of the Illuminati. It's new, but wait, it's also old. You see, we had something that had gone out of print in our inventory, and I had an inspiration. We had two videos. One of them was entitled Mysterious Monuments to the Beast. The other was entitled The Alchemical Processing of Humanity. And I really felt these were so valuable. And really, they were timely for today. And so I got them out and took a look at them. And I said, you know, these should not be out of print. People need these. And so we updated them. We added a bunch of pictures. Now, the guy hosting the program is still as handsome and intelligent as ever. His name is Tex Morse. Okay, all right. All right, don't throw bricks and you know, stones at me. Can't I brag on myself every once in a while? You know, even my mother and my wife say nice things about me sometime. But anyway, of course I'm the host on this. And I may not be as intelligent or as handsome as I claim, but I think you'll get a blessing from this video, because I got a blessing in making this documentary. Incredible information in this. And now there's even more, because we put many new photos and such. And we've got some nice graphics and such. I give Sandra Myers here in the ministry credit for that. You know, the graphics, and she makes it look a little snazzy and neat. So it's not just a guy behind a podium talking. She makes it a little bit more fun and interesting than the videos used to be. So you'll like this new video. So I wanted to let you know, though, that it is has some, you know, it was the videos. Now, you may have Mysterious Monuments to the Beast or The Alchemical Processing of Humanity. And if you get it, you say, hey, I've seen a lot of this before. That's true. But maybe you never have. And I'm telling you something, it is timely right now. What are all those mysterious monuments around the United States and even the world? What's the meaning of this new architecture? How about even in Washington, D.C.? Was it really built as a satanic city by Illuminized agents? Were many of our founding fathers members of the Illuminati and Freemasonry? All of this is in this DVD video documentary entitled Monuments and Magic of the Illuminati. It's 93 minutes. See, I put both these videos together, updated it, new pictures, etc., new graphics. You've got to have this video. Again, the title, 93 minutes long now, is Monuments and Magic of the Illuminati. $25, please add $4 shipping and handling. A total of $29. You can phone us toll free, ask for Monuments and Magic of the Illuminati. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. That's easy, isn't it? 1-800-234-9673. You can also just send us $29, check, money order, cash, $29 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And hey, we're going to have it on our internet sites too, powerofprophecy.com. It'll be right on our homepage. You'll find it there. Look for Monuments and Magic of the Illuminati on our homepage of powerofprophecy.com. We have a sister homepage too, called, or a sister webpage on the internet called conspiracyworld.com. And you can buy it there as well. And now we return to our regular program. We're discussing some secrets today. Well, old President Bush left Crawford, Texas, and he went off to Montebello, Quebec in Canada to the five-star luxury hotel Fermont Le Chateau Montebello Resort, and he met with his Canadian and Mexican counterparts. And, you know, they had a secret meeting. Now, they're discussing giving us the new currency and ending our rules and laws against immigration entirely and allowing all the illegals in that want to come in. Now, it's interesting. 10,000 protesters were outside the doors. Boy, thank goodness people are catching on. 10,000 protesters were outside the doors to oppose the meeting. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Canada's National Police Force, were there to keep law and order. But the protesters were very peaceful. They made their voices heard, of course. But it's interesting that nobody found out, was able to find out what went on inside the meeting between George Bush, Mexico's President Felipe Calderon, Mr. Fox retired, you know, and Canada's new Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. A cloud of secrecy. Now, I found it sort of interesting. I was watching them on television. They came out. They had a press conference afterwards. And one of the Canadian reporters asked the key question. He said there's much concern about in Canada that this will mean the end of Canadian sovereignty. What were y'all discussing in this meeting? He didn't use the word y'all. That's my Texas accent. But what were you three discussing in this meeting that has to be kept secret? Now, the Prime Minister of Canada, I understand, Mr. Harper, was taken aback for a moment, and then he gathered his senses, and he tried to put on a little fake, slimy smile, and he said, well, you know, all we were talking about is how chocolate bars can be bought and sold across international borders. Chocolate bars. That's all it was about. We were just talking about chocolates. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, big laugh, Mr. Harper. Big, big laugh. Meanwhile, Congress, at least a few people in Congress, are brave enough to say, hey, George W. Bush, back off of your SPP agenda, your Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America agenda, the drive to this North American Union and the ending of our American freedoms and liberties by 2010. Back off! Now, I have a list of signatories to a letter. That's right. That's right. Some very brave congressmen sent a letter to President Bush. 22 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, 21 Republicans, and one lone Democrat sent a letter to Bush asking him to back off. They said, we're concerned about your pursuit of the SPP, and we're concerned with what you might give up of our American liberties at the North American Union. And we are also concerned that you have not attempted to obtain authorization as is constitutionally required through the normal legislative process. I want to read you the names of the people who wrote this letter to George W. Bush. And I expect probably most of them will, boy, there are the forces of hounds of hell of all these Jewish groups will come against them. There was Representative Terry Everett, Republican of Alabama. All of them are representatives, so let's just cut out the word representative. Duncan Hunter of California. Tom Tancredo of Colorado. Ted Poe of Texas. Nancy Boyda of Kansas. Walter Jones of North Carolina. David Davis of Tennessee. Phil Gingrey of Georgia. John Boozman of Arkansas. John Duncan, Tennessee. Virgil Good, Virginia. Tom Price, Georgia. Jenny Brown of Florida. Sue Myrick of North Carolina. Joe Bonner of Alabama. Gary Miller of California, Steve King of Iowa, Greg Walton of Oregon, Rogers of Alabama, McCotter of Michigan, Robert Adderholt of Alabama, and Todd Aiken of Missouri. Hey, if you didn't recognize your congressman's name, maybe you ought to write him or her and ask why. Why is it you do not publicly oppose Bush's traitorous North American Union? Meanwhile, a group that we've had on this program before, Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch. It's led by a man named Tom Fitton now. He's the president of Judicial Watch. We've had Tom on our radio program in the past as a guest. Well, using the Freedom of Information Act, he was able to obtain a set of notes of what went on at a recent Canadian meeting of the Pentagon, that's right, our military brass, and their counterparts from Canada and Mexico. You see, they're having our generals meet together. They're having people from the Transportation Department, State Department, Interior Department. They're all meeting with their Canadian and Mexican counterparts, and they're all devising ways to bring the three countries together as one by 2010. And they're doing it behind our backs. There's over 200 working groups right now toiling away in the back rooms of Washington, D.C.'s establishment, trying to think of ways to give away our sovereignty. In every government agency, they're working according to the order of the Jewish neocons and Bush. And Judicial Watch was able to obtain this document. Listen to it. The conference was entitled Border Infrastructure and Continental Prosperity. Oh, yeah, sure. And it came out that they said we need to bring more people on board in the minutes. And it was decided they could do it through, get this, stealth. They said rather than just having a big vision and telling people, hey, we want a North American Union. We want the new Amaro currency. It'll make you so prosperous. It'll help you, our economies out. It'll do so much good. They said people won't buy that. Rather than just saying we're going to drop all of our borders, we won't even have the border patrol anymore. That would scare people, so we've got to do it secretly. So they said, quote, while a vision is appealing, working on this project might, now I'm quoting now from the official government report that was secret until Judicial Watch got a copy of it. It says working on the infrastructure on this project might yield more benefit and bring more people on board if we can use, get this, evolution by stealth. They're bringing in the North American Union with this strategy, evolution, meaning don't put it all out there at once. Do it piecemeal. Then people don't know what you're doing. By stealth, secretly, behind the scenes, working, piecemeal, taking apart American sovereignty, bit by bit by bit. And finally, it's all there. And you know, nobody seems to know this is going on. I was at a dinner party 2 weeks ago. One of New York's top attorneys was there. A good friend of mine, a physician, a medical doctor, was there. And others were there. And I asked these good friends, I said, what do you think about the North American Union, the plot for the North American Union by 2010? They looked at me like I was crazy. I've never heard of such a thing, they said. Think about that. Lawyers, doctors, never heard of it. One of them said, Tex, this cannot be true. I said, well, yeah, you know, they met in Waco and they signed this agreement, this declaration to bring everything together by 2010, the North American Union. I said, the Council on Foreign Relations is behind it. And my lawyer friend said, what is that, the Council on Foreign Relations? Never heard of it. Well, my medical doctor friend, he said, is this on the internet? I said, well, of course. Where is it at? I said, well, why don't you just go and type it in? Security and Prosperity Partnership, SPP. Type it in. So he went right to the internet. Boy, he Googled it up. You know, the research engine there, and he typed in security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement. Bingo! About, you know, 200,000 references to it. I guess his eyes just bugged out, probably. He came back into the at the table there. We were all sitting and drinking a cup of coffee, talking. He said, "It's real. It's real." He said, but I went to this government site, spp.gov, and it admits there is a security and prosperity partnership thing going on, and that there are many government committees working on it, but they said it really is not a big deal. It's don't listen to conspiracy theorists. They're bringing up a lot of myths. Yeah, don't listen to the conspiracy theorists. See, the government is so wary that you may find out something from an independent internet site. They put up their own website, spp.gov, and it says, now don't, right on their homepage, don't listen to the conspiracy theorists. There's all these myths going around. Don't believe what they say. Believe what we say. They've had to put up their own website. Nothing is going on, although they admit that there's 220 working groups in Washington doing things. Although they admit that Bush did meet in 2005 in Waco, Texas, with the president and the prime minister of Canada and Mexico, but really they didn't issue an agreement there. Oh, yeah, sure. And we switch over to Europe, to Mr. Sarkozy, who has taken over from Francois Mitterrand as the new president of France. He's got some neat, bright ideas for you. Listen to this. He said, we've got environmental problems. We've got economic problems in the world. What's necessary? This was at a press conference just this very week. He's got an idea how to solve all the world's problems. He said, he proposed, Mr. Sarkozy, this Jewish president of France. And by the way, what nation of the world do you think he's going to favor the most? France or Israel? Let's put them in each hand. Let's see, on this hand, left hand, France. And the right hand, let's balance Israel. France, Israel. I wonder who the Jewish president of France will favor. France, Israel. Shut up. You already know. I know. Well, Sarkozy proposes setting up a committee of wise men. This committee of wise men will decide the future of Europe. Even the future of the Middle East, he says. A committee of wise men. Oh, they're so much more intelligent than you and me. They're so more racially conscious. The Jews are so... they're chosen. They're gods. They're Olympians. A committee of wise men. Oh, yes. Meanwhile, he's got the answer for the Middle East. Listen to this news report. He says, Mr. Sarkozy, is it sarcastic? I'm not sure. In his first major foreign policy speech, the French president says that Tehran, Iran's nuclear program must be reined in. The alternative is either a Iranian nuclear bomb or the bombing of Iran. They asked, you know, Senator John McCain what he would do about Iran if he were elected president. He sang a song. An old Beach Boys song. Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. He really did. He thought it was funny. Ha, ha, ha. These people think killing, even torturing people, bombing them out of existence, is just a big joke. And you know, many Christian evangelicals agree with them. Let's bomb Iran back to the Stone Age, say many Christian pastors. Like John Hagee. Can't you just see it? Lord Jesus, what should we do about those who disagree with us? Bomb them back to the Stone Age, says Jesus. Really? No turning of the other cheek, of course. Oh, no. I defy you, dear friends. I defy you to go back since World War II and find out what nation has fought more wars, has started more wars than the United States of America. Were we attacked by Vietnam? No. Were we attacked by North Korea? No. Were we attacked by Iraq? No. Were we attacked by Haiti? No. Were we attacked by Panama? No. Were we attacked by Grenada? No. But in every one of those cases, we attacked those countries. And there's also the Dominican Republic that LBJ sent troops in, et cetera, et cetera. None of these countries have attacked us. You say, but wait, how about 9/11? 19 towel heads did it. Yeah, and seven, if it were true, which by the way, it's not even so. But let's just go along with that. Even the American government claimed that 17 of the 19 were from Saudi Arabia. Have we attacked Saudi Arabia? Did we get revenge by sending troops in, Rangers and Green Berets into Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and taking the Saudi oil sheikhs captive and taking their country and sending troops in and taking over their oil fields? After all, 17 of the 19 were Saudi Arabians. 17 of the 19 so-called hijackers of 9/11 were Saudi Arabians. But we have not yet attacked Saudi Arabia in revenge. Saddam Hussein did not attack America. In fact, he was fighting Al-Qaeda. He made war on Al-Qaeda. But why then did we attack Saddam Hussein, who didn't do anything to us? Meanwhile, Sarkozy says we've got to go in and bomb Iran. McCain says bomb Iran. Cheney says bomb Iran. Bush says bomb Iran. So, of course, we'll probably end up bombing Iran. And thousands of young American men and women in uniform will die. And millions of Christian evangelicals in America will say, thank God for the shedding of blood. Thank God for so many people dying to save Israel. To save Israel? Now, let's just look at this. Please, dear friends, go to your encyclopedia. Would you please tell me the last time in the last 100 years when Iran attacked Israel? Can you show me one nation that Iran has attacked in the last 50 years? You know, Iran has only been in one war in the last half century. We've been in about 8 or 10. They've been in one war. They were attacked by Saddam Hussein. They fought a war on their border with Saddam Hussein. They fought Saddam Hussein. And we did too. We should be applauding them today. Thank you for fighting Saddam Hussein. You're our pals. Instead, we're threatening them. We're the problem, not Iran. Well, French President Sarkozy said a push by the world's powers to rein in Tehran was the only alternative. Yes, we've got to bomb them if necessary, he says. Let's go from one monster to another, back to the United States. Michael Vick, $37 million he was paid to be a star quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. He said he's sorry. That makes it all right, doesn't it? All these monstrous murders have to do is say, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's sorry he was caught. Listen, I always like the statements they make. He gave his first big public statement. He said, I made a bad judgment. Huh? I made bad decisions. Hey, Michael, why don't you just get up and say, I did horrible things. I'm a horrible person. I'm a sinner. I murdered animals. I deserve very severe punishment. No. Yeah, I made a mistake. It's the old ha, ha, ha treatment. I made a mistake. Yeah, yeah. I can just see Hitler going up before the throne of God. Yeah, I made a mistake, God. So what? Yeah, I made bad judgments. And by the way, Michael Vick apologized to all the young kids out there for his immature acts. No, it was murderous, bloody depraved acts. It wasn't immature. It wasn't bad judgment. It wasn't bad decisions. And then he says, I offer my deepest apologies to everyone. Hey, forget about apologizing. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Go directly to jail. Stay there for 20 years. I'll be happy with that, Michael Vick. I'll be happy with 20 years of your life. They say this Michael Vick, not only did he fund this operation, this killing of these pit bull dogs, but he took part. He took part. They say he slammed dogs down so hard it killed them. He hung them by the neck till dead by ropes. They put them in water and drowned them. You see, these people were tormentors. Everybody knows that most serial killers start by first torturing animals and pets. That's where they start. Michael Vick has $500 haircuts. He probably wears $5,000 tailored suits. Every little hair on his chinny chin chin is perfectly coutured by master beauticians. But he's got a dirty heart. He's a filthy man. He deserves prison time. He needs to go now. And you know what I think should happen? I think they ought to tie the man naked to a stake. And they ought to send about 5,000 the meanest pit bulls in the world and say, sick 'em. That's what I think. Am I a cruel man? No. Get what's coming to you, dear friends. And he has it coming to him. He knew what he was doing. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't bad judgment. It was an evil act of horror. Maybe I'm a little harsh. At the worst, take the guy, parachute him down to some deserted island, shark infested, and let him make his own way for the rest of his life. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Abraham Foxman. The Armenians are upset, the Armenian Americans. You see, Congress was going to pass a resolution that commemorated the genocide of Christian Armenians by the Turks back in 1915 to 1917. 1.5 million Armenian Christians were massacred in a Holocaust by Turks. But wait, friends, they were not just Turkey people. They were not citizens of Turkey. This was a mastermind. Crypto-Jewish Turks. Crypto-Jews were the Turks, just like Sarkozy is a crypto. Well, he's not even crypto. He's admitted he's Jewish. But crypto-Jews seized the government of Turkey, just like they seized the government of Russia and the Soviet Union in 1917. In 1915, the young Turks seized control from the Muslims. They pretended to be Muslims themselves. They took over the government of Turkey, and there happened to be this province called Armenia, and 1.5 million Christians lived there in peace. The Muslims allowed the Christians to live there in peace. And the crypto-Jews that took over the government massacred them. Almost all of them were killed, tortured, killed. One of the things they did was cut off their hands. The British consul reported back to his British government. He said there were so many hands that were severed that you could place the hands side by side and it would be enough to build a highway 20 miles long. Now Abraham Foxman of the ADL says he's against the resolution of Congress. He doesn't want to discuss the Armenian genocide of Christians. Oh no. He only wants to talk about the so-called Jewish Holocaust. He's selfish. This is Tex Mars, dear friends. You've been listening to Volume of Secrets. Tune in each week and discover the power of Bible prophecy.